Hi, kids. Welcome to Bronco Land. We got some smart ones in the room.
Welcome back to the DenverBroncos.com podcast. Thank you for joining us. Very exciting week here, and not because of football for Mace, at least, and for me a little bit. As Star Wars hits theaters, Force Awakens. Have you seen it yet? This is being recorded on Friday, so there has been at least one night that Mace camped outside a movie theater. And
yeah, I draw the line at camping out, and I draw the line at dressing in character. So I'm going Friday night with some friends. The only Star Wars accoutrement that I'll have is a T-shirt with Yoda's picture on it, and not dressing like him. I used to have Star Wars Halloween costumes when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I went as Yoda a couple of times.
I don't remember who I went as, to be honest. Maybe Han Solo or something.
Yeah.
One of us was a stormtrooper, maybe both of us.
I think I'd have to choose being Han Solo over the stormtrooper.
Yeah, stormtrooper is in the football parlance, a nameless, faceless opponent.
Yeah, to cross from one nerd universe to the other, the stormtroopers and the red shirts on Star Trek are kind of the same thing. They're created to be killed.
Mm-hmm. How, for people as plugged into the internet as us who have to kind of stay on there as part of jobs, how have you been doing at staying away from spoilers?
I think I've been doing pretty well, though. I think some idiot may have tweeted a spoiler at me. And if indeed it turned out to be a spoiler, I'm going to castigate him publicly. Not cool.
There's your
not
warning.
Cool.
That I would agree. That is not okay for a movie as big as this.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're out there like tweeting spoilers to little movies,
mm-hmm.
like whatever. But this is such a highly anticipated one. It's pretty big offense.
Yeah.
Remember to let that slip.
Remember when Homer Simpson went to see Empire Strikes Back and he walks out of the movie saying, "What an ending. Who'd have thought Darth Vader was Luke Skywalker's father?"
I do.
Thank you, Mr. Blow the Picture for me.
Oh, man. How much anticipation has this been for you?
Well, I mean, I think if it were in the summer, I think there'd be more anticipation because it would be a downtime on the football calendar. But
Being
week 15, the Broncos being in the thick of the playoff race, having a big game coming up in Pittsburgh, there's been plenty of stuff going on to keep my mind busy. And it's honestly, it's kind of snuck up on me a little bit that, oh my goodness, it's actually here. I mean,
I kept thinking it was a year away. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh wait, now is a year away from when I started thinking that.
Yeah, and the thing is, I mean, they'll start production on episode 8 pretty quickly because they're talking about having that released in December 2017.
Have you heard Mike Francesca's? you know who Mike Francesca is, I'm guessing.
Yes.
The New York radio sports talk guy.
Oh, yeah, Mike Francesa, yeah.
Yeah, and he apparently not a big Star Wars fan, and he was asked about it on his show either Friday or Thursday. And he kind of just railed off against it. I mean, he has no idea what he's talking about. And the thing that gets him is, how is the first episode that came out, the first movie that was produced, how is that episode 4?
Yeah.
And he's like, and his New York accent, oh, it's really funny. He's just completely oblivious to it.
He's had a lot of moments of being completely oblivious. There was the time, I think it was 3 years ago, when a caller comes in and asks him about Al Albuquerque, who at the time was a middle reliever for the Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
And Francesa thought that the guy was making up. He's like, yeah, you know, you've got the joke wrong. It's Al B. Kirky. Not realizing that Al Albuquerque is an actual pitcher who that year was pretty good. And then, of course, there's the if you go on YouTube, you can find it. Francesa listening to a report coming in, and he's falling asleep because there's a camera in the studio, and you see him just fading out. And then when his chin kind of hits his chest, like he jumps, like, you know, comes to like, what happened there?
Well, what I liked is how somehow this conversation about how much he doesn't care for Star Wars turns into how much he likes Pearl Harbor, the movie.
What?
The movie, obviously. he somehow gets to that, and he's like, oh, yeah, great movie. Ben Affleck, wonderful. The romance was incredible.
Oh, gosh. Romance in a Michael Bay movie. Oh, boy.
Well,
there's so much wrong with that with that assessment.
And let's go ahead, Francesa. Let's go ahead and get our Panthers, our Carolina reference out of the way, because Panther center Ryan Khalil took out the entire team, bought out an entire theater, I guess.
Yeah, on Thursday night, brought an entire theater to have them watch Star Wars together.
Yes.
The whole team or just the offensive line?
I'm not sure. I thought it was the whole team. I could be wrong.
I mean, knowing Ryan Khalil from covering the Panthers a few years back, that does not surprise me. I was actually a little bit surprised that there wasn't more NFL and Star Wars tie-ins than there were. I mean, obviously, one of the trailers premiered on Monday Night Football, but you know, Star Wars now being a Disney property, Disney being mm-hmm. one of the broadcast rights holders of the NFL via ESPN. I thought there might be a little more crossover than there was, but hasn't really been anything formal. I was sort of hoping there'd be advanced screenings involving the NFL teams in every market, like on Tuesday, and I would have been all over that.
So Khalil running out the theater for O-line, and then plus Luke Kuechly and Greg Olsen. So,
if I were a defensive lineman, I'd feel kind of left out on that one. I mean, I mean, maybe it was a small theater, but I mean, even those small theaters that. You know, like I'm going to go see it at a theater where they have like little tables and wait service and all that.
Well, what theaters of those small ones are those small theaters? How many of those are getting Star Wars?
Well, I mean, you've got some that are like they're not small in terms of the screen, but they're small in terms of the capacity,
right?
Because they've got like sofas and all that, like.
Like I don't think
South Glen's one of them. I think there are some South Glen. Theaters that are pretty, for those of you who are in the Denver area, you know where South Glen is.
Is that an independent kind of
thing? No, it's not. No. The Landmark Cinemas over, there's one in Greenwood Village over in DTC. That's pretty small, but that's a pretty traditional movie theater, except you get free popcorn and sodas, which is nice.
Oh, you get free popcorn and soda?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's big.
And
that's
they got like, and booze in the lobby.
That's one of my favorite things about going to see the movies is popcorn.
Yeah, it's free. Now, granted, it's not a big tub. It's a small. So if you want the massive industrial size tub of popcorn, you're not going to get it at the Landmark Cinema. It's just going to be a bag. It's kind of old school, but it's really cool. It's a if you're a fan of movies, it's a good place to watch a flick. And then of course, but then like the smaller ones, like the art house place, like the one I go to, the Shea Art East. Mm-hmm. Again, if you're in Denver, you probably know about it. Yes. I mean, that just screams film snob, right? And I've been to quite a few films at the Shea Artista. It tells you I'm a little bit of a movie snob in some ways. But, yeah, that's definitely that's an old school place. I don't think you're going to see Star Wars in there, obviously. But
the only time I've had one of the big tubs of popcorn, like if you're drawing a cartoon, someone's going to a movie theater, that's the tub of popcorn they're getting?
Yes.
Was... The final Lord of the Rings movie, The Return of the King.
Well, I mean, wasn't that close to 3 hours?
Yeah, exactly.
Long film.
You think you're getting your money's worth out of it?
Yeah, you're gonna finish that. Like, the thing is that this
it gets
one
too salty though. After that long, you're just like, I'm done with this popcorn.
Yeah, it a little bit too much. I like to get a small popcorn and then some candy. I'm kind of partial mm-hmm. to Reese's Pieces, although I find Junior Mints is a nice complement to a popcorn. But this theater I'm going to, I'll probably just end up getting a plate of nachos.
You know, my my friend growing up, his cousin, who we hung out with all the time, his thing was, and I kind of embraced it, at least for a little while, was milk duds at the bottom of a soda.
What?
And then by the time you finish drinking the soda, you have these frozen milk duds, and you kind of just...
But okay, time out, because... Those things are like vulcanized rubber,
mm-hmm.
okay? So they're not exactly soft.
No.
And what you're gonna put them in the bottom of your soda, and they're gonna be
like
boulders.
Yeah. And then you just kind of let them marinate.
See, I get the notion of putting milk duds in your popcorn and getting some of the butter on
Ooh.
Them. I don't know. But that being said, I don't like milk duds anyway. To quote Bart Simpson, chocolate sweet on the outside, poison on the inside.
That's fair. I haven't done that in a long time. Well, if you've made it this far in the podcast, we'll get to the football now.
What? Football? Is there a game that all of a sudden, I know I said earlier there was my focus on the game, but now we've been talking about this, I've kind of forgotten.
Yeah, football game this weekend.
Pittsburgh, or if it's properly pronounced in the British way, Pittsburgh.
Is that a...
Edinburgh, Scotland. Yeah. Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway. That's
not a thing I grew up with where Nashville is Nashville.
Yeah.
Asheville.
See, I because my father's from North Carolina and my mother's from England, I've got kind of the worst of both worlds on that.
So
it is Nashville, and if a city that ends in Berg, B-U-R-G-H, should be Burra.
Burra.
But I don't say that, even though Burra. I just think that's how it should be pronounced.
Well, regardless, big game this weekend.
Huge.
Doesn't quite overshadow Star Wars, but it's a huge game. And frankly, it's just going to be one that I'm really excited to watch defensively just because of the power that the Steelers offense has, especially through the air, and the kind of talent that Ben Roethlisberger has in his arm and where that arm is thrown to, and then the defense that'll be going against it from the pass rush on up to the secondary.
And the thing is, they've got that kind of explosive power in the passing game, but if you sleep on their running game, it's good enough to beat you.
Mm-hmm. D'Angelo Williams has been outstanding. Mm-hmm.
4.7 yards per carry. There's been virtually no drop-off from going from Le'Veon Bell to D'Angelo Williams. It's credit to D'Angelo. It's also credit to their offensive line, which in terms of run blocking, you know, they'll maul you up front. And really, that's why, to me, one of the keys of the game is going to be making them one-dimensional. And if that one dimension is the pass, okay, fine. But at least if you can take the run out of the equation, whether, you know, not only through what the defense does, but if the offense can build a working lead in this game somehow, which it's, you know, given the way the offense has struggled the last couple of weeks, that might be tough. But if you can get them in the position where they're going heavy on the passing game, at least you'll know that your edge rushers can attack and you can have the safeties back in coverage. Whereas if they've got if they've got balance going and the safeties have to think about the run and the guys on the edge have to worry about setting the edge rather than simply attacking and trying to bring down Ben Roethlisberger, you know, that's where you fall into trouble against these guys.
Yeah, I mean, Roethlisberger is known to make a few mistakes here and there. They're 29th in interception percentage, but I think some of that is probably because he missed a handful of games with Michael Vick and
Landry Jones.
Yeah, Landry Jones.
Tom Landry Jones, as Wade Phillips helpfully pointed out on Thursday, even though he's not from Texas, he's got a very Texas name.
Well, Roethlisberger's thrown, I think, 10 interceptions. Yeah, 10 interceptions. Mm-hmm. And he's been sacked 14 times. And, I mean, he's kind of dangerous. The defense has been talking about having to cover an extra few seconds like they did for Aaron Rodgers. His mobility raises some problems, but he's not exactly as young and spry as he used to be.
Well, but he's still got good footwork within the pocket. He can make that first guy miss. Maybe he's not going to be able to extend the play quite as long by getting outside of the pocket, but he can do a little shuffle step, sidestep, make the first guy miss and buy a little bit of extra time. So on the back end, those cornerbacks know they have to maintain their integrity and coverage a bit longer than usual because he'll give those receivers a chance to break off their routes and get open farther downfield. Of course, that was the same conundrum the Broncos faced against the Packers with Aaron Rodgers, and the cornerbacks managed to hold up well. That being said, I think the Steelers receivers, Antonio Brown, Martavis Bryant, and Marcus Wheaton, are better 1-2-3 than the Packers had.
That's actually the best 1-2-3 combination in the league yardage-wise. Was looking that up, going team by team. And yeah, they've been outstanding, just really good weapons for Roethlisberger.
And he'll trust them all. He'll just throw to he doesn't hesitate to throw to any of them. It's not like he's locked in on Antonio Brown.
No. Right.
Whoever's open, He'll trust him to go get the ball. So
all the corners are looking forward to that, though.
Yeah, they are. But at the same time, you figure that with Aqib Talib and Chris Harris Jr., Bradley Roby is going to end up being very busy in this game, I think. And now, when he's been busy, he's come up with some big plays. Go back to the Detroit game, for instance, where Matthew Stafford tested him, and Roby passed with flying colors. So I think you're counting on the fact that they got the top receiving trio in the league, but the Broncos, I would argue, have the top cornerback trio in this league. And I like the confidence from the defense. It's the same mentality that they had going into the Packers game, that, hey, they're good. They're really good. They haven't faced anyone like us.
Yeah. Other side of the ball, Broncos offense has kind of been the goat the past few weeks, even though they did win in San Diego. However, have not scored a touchdown in, I think, 7 quarters. And they'll have to get things back on track if they want to keep up with the Steelers, if the Steelers' offense gets going.
Yeah, first thing they've got to do is figure out how to actually cash in when they get into scoring range, because this, not just red zone, we can say like inside the 25-yard line, this has been a bugaboo going back to the San Diego game. If they cash in on their opportunities in San Diego, you're not talking about that game being competitive in the fourth quarter.
Right.
If they cash in on even half of their scoring opportunities in the first half against Oakland, you're not talking about that game being close, frankly. The Broncos probably cruise to the win. And I think that's the most frustrating thing, is that that was a game that they should have won. One more touchdown, as opposed to a field goal, might have been enough, and individuals begin pointing the finger at themselves. You know, Demaryius Thomas had a drop pass. Brock Osweiler overthrew Virgil Greene in the end zone. Actually, speaking of that drop pass, I mean, there were 4 drop passes last Sunday for Broncos targets, and I think this week, regarding Brock Osweiler and some of the criticism he's faced, has an entirely different narrative and tone if those passes are caught. He's got one more touchdown. You know, he had the play where Vernon Davis dropped it. He was wide open. You give him those completions, and obviously the game takes on a different flow. But still, you're talking about 39 of 51 for 350 yards, perhaps, and a touchdown, and probably a rating right around 100. Then all of a sudden, I don't think people are up in arms so much.
Well, being up in arms, and that comes at an interesting time with Peyton Manning returning to practice for the first time, and geez, what's it been, about 4 or 5 weeks?
Yeah, first on-field work with teammates since the Kansas City game on November 15th. So it's been just a little bit over a month. Of course, practice Wednesday and Thursday. Did some scout team work. Pretty
scout team.
A reasonably fair impersonation of Ben Roethlisberger, from what we hear. And then Friday did not practice. Had some foot soreness Friday morning and was held out of practice. Now, I don't think we're going to know what that means until next week.
Right.
Because you want to see, you know, I'm sure they'll be asking Peyton Manning on Saturday, hey, how's your foot? Is it healthy? You know, hey, do you feel any pain today? Did the rest day help? Are they going to try to get him back out there throwing as soon as Monday with it for another throwing session? It's too early to tell. Certainly it brings another potential issue into play, certainly. And the thing is, with injuries, the progression in recovery, it's not always linear.
Right.
Sometimes you're going back and forth. Sometimes there's going to be some ups and downs, and maybe today was just a setback, but it doesn't necessarily mean he's not in a good place in terms of his recovery. Again, I think we're going to have to get another couple of days out and see if the soreness lingers or if it doesn't, to know what happened Friday really meant.
And then I kind of just remember this, talking about the red zone issues. And the running game has been a bit of a concern as well, because, well, I mean, there were drops in the red zone, but the running game didn't exactly do much either within the 20-yard line or with the 25.
No.
And, you know, C.J. Anderson's been hurt, and that's been, you know, a concern without having him, because he's been pretty good in the last few weeks. But that initial push at the line of scrimmage has not been there either.
Well, and take a look at the one run that I've kind of zeroed in on, Ronnie Hillman's 6-yard loss last week. You've got a situation there where you've got Jordan Norwood trying to block Khalil Mack. it's not going to work out very well. Now, that's where maybe if you're going to have that kind of play and that kind of matchup's going to set up, you may want someone different in there. Now, granted, you're hoping to catch them off guard with a particular alignment, picked a particular personnel grouping. But I felt bad for Jordan Norwood the way he was just pushed back, like he was just like he was a stuffed animal, mm-hmm. almost. And Ronnie Hillman really had he didn't have a shot to score a touchdown on that play. What he could have done, like he cut back and like basically had nowhere to go, and by the time he ended up falling to the ground, there were like six Steelers converging on, or yeah. Raiders, pardon me, thinking about Pittsburgh, six Raiders players converging on him, and C.J. Anderson made a point. He said he said they were watching that play on film, and that C.J. or that Ronnie probably could have gone to the outside. And okay, he probably wasn't going to score a touchdown. Maybe he could have salvaged a no gain out of that, and it would have been third and goal from the 5 instead of third and goal from the 11. So there's a lot going on, but maybe some of that's just going to be simply putting the running backs in better position to succeed, because there was too much of a push getting into the backfield, through the blocking scheme, too many defenders that were able to blow up running plays.
We're only a few weeks out from the end here of the regular season, I should say, and playoff position is beginning to bear itself out.
Yes.
And nothing has really become clear for, if the Broncos win this week, we know they're going to be in.
Mm-hmm.
However, the AFC West still will shake out in the next couple of weeks.
Right. Here's what we know. Win Sunday, they're in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
Win two of the last three, they win the AFC West. Win two of the last three, and one of those two wins happens to be against Cincinnati, they get at least a bye.
Yep.
That's what we know that as far as what's in the Broncos' hands.
And that Bengals game was originally going to be one of the tougher games, and now
still might be.
It still might be, but now there's a little bit of uncertainty because of A.J. McCarron stepping in for Andy Dalton, who reports they broke his thumb, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Broke it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So concerns for the Bengals have to be going up a little bit. Their hope is that they get a first-round bye, come out of the regular season with the bye, and have more time for him to rest up. But as McCarron kind of gets settled in, he's a first-year player, and going against this Broncos defense, that's something they're probably going to lick their chops at, depending on how this weekend goes and kind of puts them up for Week 16.
Yeah, you want to play well this weekend, and you also want to get healthy. And even though the Broncos defense has played well despite injuries, that's still a big concern because you're going into this game, without T.J. Ward. Without Omar Bolden, expecting David Bruton back, hoping to have Darian Stewart. He didn't practice all week, but he's questionable. But yeah, you got Dan Trevathan back from the concussion, so you're getting healthier. You're going to get 30 to 35 plays out of DeMarcus Ware. That should be a positive as well. But safety's still a big concern, and obviously against the Steelers, it could be a very big concern, quite frankly, given the safety's responsibilities helping out in coverage from time to time.
Yeah, that'll be a fun game though. I'm definitely looking forward to it. I've got family in Pittsburgh, so we'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's always tough on the road trips trying to meet up with people, especially when they don't live,
mm-hmm.
I mean.
Are they in the city or are they outside of the city?
They're technically, to be honest, I'm not sure. I just know they're through a tunnel, kind of southeast side. I forget what the name of the area is. But I just know it'd be like a 15-minute drive.
Oh, okay.
But I think it'll happen. We'll see.
Going to Primanti's?
No. I'm not really sure what we're going to do because it's kind of been cobbled together at the last minute.
Yeah, a few of us, I think, are going downtown Saturday night. Primanti Brothers, of course. If you're not familiar with it, it's the sandwich shop where they will do like burgers, roast beef, cheesesteaks. But they put coleslaw and fries in the sandwich. It was designed to be kind of a handy meal for workers who'd come down there and just want everything.
Stop.
Yeah, everything like that you could put between your hands, basically. And this was a sandwich, and they put it in wax paper. I consider it the American version of the Cornish pasty,
okay,
which was designed in Cornwall and concocted in Cornwall, in part because it would basically be a whole meal that you could, like, put in your hand and you just chow down on.
Seems like a Taco Bell creation. I'm pretty sure I've seen a Taco Bell thing. It's like, oh, it's like a meal inside your hand. And the commercial is just like, now you can hold doors while you hold something.
That's true.
Yep.
But I can. I like the Primanti Brothers sandwich. I've actually been to Primanti's in Fort Lauderdale as well. They have a couple of outlets down there.
It's interesting. It's
there are some outposts of northern cities that are in that have beachheads in South Florida. Primanti Brothers, I believe there's a Giordano's. There's some Giordano's pizza shops from Chicago. One of the stuffed pizza places. They have some of those in Florida. Skyline Chili from Cincinnati has some locations in Florida.
It's interesting.
Because people move down there. But they still want the taste of home.
Well, if you want a taste of Pittsburgh, you can get a Yingling as well with that. I think that's a Pittsburgh brewery.
It's Western PA, I think. Rolling Rock is Latrobe as well. That's Western. Latrobe is Western PA. That's where the Steelers have their training camp is Latrobe.
Oh, right near the Rolling Rock.
Yeah, and of course, you're not too far from Punxsutawney.
Is that so?
That's a couple hours down the road, but yes.
I wonder what the tourism went up after that movie.
After Groundhog Day?
Yes.
I think it did. And of course, you know, Phil Connors, the weatherman, is from Pittsburgh, played by Bill Murray, you know.
One of my online friends, one of the guys who I used to... He used to cover the Dallas, or he still does. He kind of writes about the Dallas Mavericks. He'll write about the Cowboys from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And Needle Nose Ned.
Yeah.
Ned Ryerson is his uncle or something.
The actor that plays him?
Yeah.
Steven Tobolowsky?
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that.
Ned the Head. Come on, buddy. Case Western High. Ned Ryerson Bing. Got the shingles real bad senior year, almost didn't graduate. Bing. Bing. Whistling belly button trick. Oh, so you turn pro with that whistling belly button trick? No, I sell insurance. What a shock.
Well, as we leave you off with our Pittsburgh.
You know, the other thing before we go.
Yes.
Groundhog Day, of course, you hear the song, the Pennsylvania Polka. Do, do, do. Do 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 do. You hear it over and over in the movie. Well, that tune has a very strong place in Steelers history because back in the 70s, a local radio station owner and polka musician named Jimmy Pishulis would record versions of the Pennsylvania Polka, but they were with Steelers lyrics, and he would redo them and update. Like, he kept updating them right on through the 90s.
Wow.
Yeah.
How big a span? Like,
it went. He may have even done them in the 2000s.
Wow.
But the first one he did was in 1974. It's "We're from the town with." You got to do it with a Greek accent. A great football team. We love them, Pittsburgh Steelers. You can find them on YouTube. All the versions of it. Offense, offense, take that football all the way up the field.
Well, Pittsburgh pop culture clearly, well, Pennsylvania pop culture as well. Western Pennsylvania.
Western Pennsylvania has such a unique local flavor to it.
Mm-hmm.
I love places like this, like Pittsburgh. There's so much character to it. That's, you know, there's a distinctive accent. You can hear it in some of the people that come out of there. The late Skip Prosser, great college basketball coach at Xavier and also at Wake Forest. I was reading this on a Joe Posnanski blog entry a while back. They were close because Joe had covered him when he was coaching Xavier in Cincinnati. And Prosser used to say that when you come out through the Fort Pitt Tunnel and you see the rivers and you see the skyline. He said
That's
it was
great.
The most beautiful
Everyone
sight in the world.
Everyone needs to do that at one
point. It is. It's gorgeous. Like a high point of the trip is when our buses are going to come through the tunnel and then the confluence and the downtown skyline opens up, it is just it is beautiful. I'm not going to be like Skip Prosser and say it's the most beautiful sight in the world, but I can understand why someone who's from Pittsburgh would think that. It's just marvelous.
Picturesque, yes. Yeah. And, well, I think with that, we'll head out. Game is at 2:25 Mountain Time, 4:25 Eastern, if you're joining us at the game. And we will come to you next week with reaction and preview of the following week, Monday night game.
Mm-hmm.
With that, enjoy the game. Enjoy Star Wars if you're going to see it. And we'll catch you in a week's time.